Okay, we need a volunteer to read the first nine verses of Daniel chapter 7. Volunteer. Rachel. Back from Pennsylvania, huh? Feeling better?
A lot better.
In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel saw a dream and visions of his head as he lay in his bed. Then he wrote down the dream and told the sum of the matter. Daniel declared, "I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea. And four great beasts came up out of the sea, different from one another. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. Then, as I looked, its wings were plucked off, and it was lifted up from the ground and made to stand on 2 feet like a man, and the mind of a man was given to it. And behold, another beast, a second one, like a bear. It was raised up on one side. It had 3 ribs in its mouth between its teeth, and it was told, 'Arise, devour much flesh.' After this I looked, and behold, another, like a leopard, with 4 wings of a bird on its back. And the beast had 4 heads, and dominion was given to it. After this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a 4th beast, terrifying and dreadful, and exceedingly strong. It had great iron teeth. It devoured and broke in pieces and stamped what was left with its feet. It was different from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. I considered the horns and behold, there came up among them another horn, a little one, before which 3 of the 1st horns were plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. As I looked, thrones were placed, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was fiery flames, its wheels were burning fire."
Okay, so what I'm going to do tonight is give you a few moments or a few minutes to fill out your sheet based on the count here in chapter 7, the first 8 verses, and then its correspondence. You see the image on the right-hand side there? That's Nebuchadnezzar's image from chapter 2. And you remember it had 4 parts to it. The head of gold, the arms of silver, the waist and thighs of brass, legs of iron, and actually 5, the feet were iron and clay. So fill out what you can. If you don't understand it, that's fine. But we'll go through it. We'll give you a few minutes to do this. Pardon? Anybody else need one? Okay, there's some extras up here, Lynn, if somebody needs them. Okay, I think everybody's got one, but if people come in. Okay, either got it or you're totally confused. Okay, so Daniel has this troubling vision. In fact, at the end of it, at the end of the chapter, it says that he was nightmare for him. He says that, as for me, Daniel, my thoughts greatly troubled me, and my countenance changed, but I kept the matter in my head. He kept it to himself, although he wrote it down, kept it in his heart. And he saw these four beasts, and probably had a foreboding that Babylon was going to come to an end. You see that he had this dream in the first year of Belshazzar, and we know that later Belshazzar would see the writing on the wall, the hand writing on the wall, and woke him out of his drunken stupor. As we see, all these kingdoms, they end in drunkenness, it seems. And a very sad thing. And our nation is drowning in alcohol and in drugs today. We see that deaths from alcohol have doubled since 2000. More and more people are dying from alcohol, but their liquor stores are kept open and churches are closed. Doesn't make much sense, does it? Over something that's not killing near as many people as alcohol does. Every day, people are dying from alcohol. But you don't hear a peep against it. Okay, so these four creatures that Daniel sees are correspond, as I said, to the image of Nebuchadnezzar that you see on the right hand side of your paper. Okay, so the first beast in verse 4 is described as what? He's like what? A lion with what? Eagle's wings. Okay. So what do you think that description, what would you think of? Do you think of that? A lion with wings like an eagle. Nobody has any idea. Except Jackie, and she's putting her mask back on. Okay, powerful and swift. Yeah, very ferocious. If you met a lion in the woods, in the jungle, you probably wouldn't be too comfortable, would you? And you probably couldn't outrun it either. And something that Jeremiah wrote in Jeremiah 4, verse 7, it says, a lion is gone up from the thicket and a destroyer of nations. He is on his way. He has gone forth from his place to make your land desolate, that your cities be laid waste without an inhabitant. And then in Lamentation, he says, our pursuers were swifter than the eagles of heaven. And both of those are descriptions of Babylon. So he uses the idea of a lion and of an eagle. Of a lion because of the ferociousness, the eagle because of the speed with which he conquered. Okay, characteristics. Lion is the, you all know this, king of beasts. Eagle's the king of birds, the chief of birds. That's why it's our national symbol. Identification, what nation? Babylon. Correspondence to the image was what? The head of gold. So the lion and the head of gold both speak of Babylon. And notice here he says that I watched in verse 4 that till the wings were plucked off, and it was lifted up from the earth and made to stand on 2 feet like a man, and a man's heart was given to it. Who does that remind you of? Nebuchadnezzar? And he had hair like eagle's feathers, for one thing, and he was insane. And God changed him from a beast into a man. And no doubt he put his trust in the living God. That was his testimony. Okay, the second beast is described to be like a what? Like a bear. And he has an unusual characteristic. Yeah, he's raised up on one side, and I remember when I was a kid, Rod Laver was a famous tennis player, and his right arm was like Popeye because he was so strong from wielding that tennis racket. Well, this bear is stronger on one side than on the other side. Not from playing tennis, of course. So, and it has ribs. So I'm giving the answer now. In his teeth. His mouth are in his teeth. So he had ribs for dinner. And, of course, that shows his ferocity. And it says to eat flesh. Bears will eat omnivores, so they eat both vegetables and fruit and as well as meat. And the identification, what nation is this speaking of? Or nations? Media Persia. So those were two nations that made up this. They were combined. Actually, Cyrus had a Median mother and a Persian father, so he was both. But the Persian part of the empire was more powerful. The Persian side was more powerful than the Median side and came into prominence. And the correspondence to the image? Chest and arms of silver. Okay, so again, corresponding to this image on the right. Third beast, he described, he's like what? A leopard. And he had, his characteristic was that he had four wings and four heads. Now, what does that speak of? If two wings speak of speed, yeah. Well, we know that the Alexander was a very quick-moving army, and that's why he was so effective. And he had, and this beast had four heads, and which probably alluding to the fact that his kingdom was divided after his death. Is that what you're going to say? Yeah. So Alexander came to the Macedonian throne when he was about 20 years of age. By the time he was 25, he was virtual master of the Eastern world. At the Battle of Arbela, with a force of less than 50,000 men, he defeated Darius, whose army was 600,000 strong in 331 BC. It's also significant that the leopard of Daniel's vision had four heads. Remarkably, this signifies the fate of his empire following his death in 325. Alexander had no heir. Consequently, his territories were divided among four of his generals. Also, this is predicted in chapter 8, verse 8. If you want to look at that. Therefore, the male goat grew very great, but when he became strong, the large horn was broken. That'd be Alexander. In the place, four notable ones came up toward the four winds of heaven. And then verse 22 of the same chapter. And he informed me and talked with me and said, "Oh, Daniel," let's see, is that right? I'm looking at chapter 9, verse 22 of chapter 8. And for the broken horn and the four that stood up in his place, four kingdoms shall arise out of that nation, but not with its power. And the same is said in chapter 11, verse 3. Then a mighty king shall arise, who shall rule with great dominion and do according to his will. When he has arisen, his kingdom shall be broken up and divided toward the four winds of heaven, but not among his posterity, nor according to his dominion with which he ruled, for his kingdom shall be uprooted even for others besides these. So there's four different kings that take place, or take the place of Alexander the Great. Lysimachus took the whole of Asia Minor. Cassander had Greece. Seleucus possessed Syria and the East, and Ptolemy claimed Egypt and Palestine. And so much of Daniel, or there's a chapter devoted in Daniel to these fights between the Ptolemies and the Seleucids as they fought for the control of the promised land there of Israel. And so they were having wars with each other. They'd have marriages between them, and the marriage agreement would be broken. And so Israel became kind of like a highway for them to go across, and when they're fighting one another. But the significance of this is that these Greece and Rome, these things didn't come to pass for another 200 years. And yet Daniel foresaw not only Daniel, the great he-goat with the prominent horn, the great commander, but also that his kingdom would not go to his offspring because he didn't have any, and they'd be divided among his generals. Okay, so he was like a leopard with four wings and four heads. And so it's identified with Greece. The correspondence, the image, the thighs of brass. The thighs of brass. And then the fourth beast. This beast is different than the other beasts because we know what a lion looks like. We know what a bear looks like. We know what a leopard looks like. But you've never seen one like this. This seems to be a composite beast because these kingdoms are built on one another. And when we began this chapter, it said that the four winds of heaven were blowing. Now, usually winds blow in one direction, but there's got winds blowing in every direction at the same time. That wouldn't be good, would it, if you're out on Lake Vermilion? Wind blowing in all directions. And so what does it create? What's the picture here of turmoil? And these kingdoms come out of the sea. The sea speaks of the world, the Gentile world. And so we have winds blowing today, don't we, from all directions. There's a lot of turmoil in our world and in our country. And so out of this turmoil like comes things like this, like these kingdoms. And of course, the last kingdom is going to be the worst, is it not? And it's going to arise probably out of the fact that not only things that are going on in our world today with the increasing the new world order that we're seeing with the universalism and the attempt to unite the whole world under one political, religious, and monetary head. But also the fact that the church is going to be raptured. It's going to be caught up. And this great event is going to set the stage for the coming of the last ruler of this earth, the last kingdom. Okay, this one is different. And he's described three ways. He's dreadful, terrible, and exceedingly strong. And that was the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire was a very powerful entity. And they ruled the then known world pretty much. Characteristic, it had what? On its head, 10 horns. And it refers then to Rome. And it's correspondent to the image. Anybody got that one? Right, so it had legs of iron, feet and toes, part of iron and part of clay. Now, one thing about iron and clay, they're different materials completely, aren't they? And you think how they think they mix very well? See, it used to be that the U.S. was a melting pot. Everybody came in, they became part of the U.S. And they were glad to become part of this nation. Now we are broken into these different entities. And so this, and I'm not saying America is this fourth beast, but I'm saying that this kingdom is going to be divided. And some believe it's going to be a combination of the Islam religion and Christianity and false Christianity, of course. And it's going to try to unite people that are different peoples. But it's not going to adhere. Clay and iron don't adhere together. And eventually you fall apart. And then you have this horn in verse 8. With eyes like a man and a mouth speaking great pompous words. And that's the kind of the mood of our society today, isn't it? The fourth beast actually is in three phases. The beast stage, that would be the ancient Roman Empire. The horn stage, we just read, the little horn. And then the horn stage, and then the little horn. So you have this beast, first of all, and then we have the 10 horns. This is the second form of that empire. And then the third one is the little horn that comes out among the 10 kings or nations that are represented by those 10 horns. Verse 25, again, it talks about this little horn. Verse 25 says, and he shall speak. Well, verse 24, it says, the 10 horns were 10 kings who shall rise from this kingdom, and another shall rise after them. He shall be different from the first ones and shall subdue 3 kings. He shall speak pompous words. So he's not one of the 10 horns. He comes up among them, defeats 3 of them. He shall speak pompous words against the Most High, shall persecute the saints of the Most High, and shall intend to change times and law. And that's the mood in our society today, isn't it? This move against marriage, against gender, and so on, is a rebellion against God. And that's what the Antichrist will do. Then the saints shall be given into his hand for a time, times, and a half a time. So that's 3.5 years, mentioned many times throughout the scripture. So this little horn is actually the Antichrist. And he's spoken of, we can turn out a couple verses here, in the New Testament, 1 John chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 18. Little children, is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist, and that word Antichrist actually means instead of. He's against Christ, but he's actually, the word means instead of Christ. That's why he tries to copy everything that Jesus is. He tries to copy it. Antichrist has come. Even now, many antichrists have come, by which we know that is the last hour. We have many antichrists today. Substitutes. Chapter 4, verse 3, same book. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. So the spirit of Antichrist, there are many Antichrists in the world today, but the Antichrist is yet future. Revelation 13, we'll see John's description of him in Revelation. Now, he never calls him the Antichrist in Revelation. What is he called in Revelation? Pardon? That's one of the descriptions, which is probably the description of Satan, but a beast. He's called a beast as we come here to chapter 13, which kind of corresponds, doesn't it, to Daniel. Because in Daniel, we see that these kingdoms are referred to as beasts. They're not nice. It's not pretty. As they subdue the world through bloodshed and power and tyranny. Revelation 13, verse 5. And he was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. Well, let's start in verse 1. And I stood at the sand of the sea and saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, and on his horns 10 crowns, and on his heads a blasphemous name. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard. His feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth was like the mouth of a lion. You see the same three beasts that we see in Daniel. You have the leopard, you have the bear, and you have the lion. So this is a composite beast of the other ones. The dragon gave him his power, his throne, and his great authority. So the dragon is Satan. He gives power to the beast. And I saw one of his heads as it had been wounded, mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world marveled and followed the beast. And they worshiped the dragon who gave authority to the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, "Who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" And he was given a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies, and he was given to continue for 42 months. That's the same as time times and a half a time, isn't it? Same as 3.5 years. But notice that almost every time the Antichrist is spoken of, he's spoken of as having a big mouth, isn't he? Speaking boldly against God. And we see the spirit of Antichrist today, people speaking boldly against God. So the spirit's here, it's just a matter of the right man coming along that will fulfill that role. Verse 6, then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. It's granted to him to make war with the saints and overcome them, and authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. And all who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose names were not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. That's a warning, is it not? What are some of the other titles that we see? Well, we just see one, the little horn that we see here, the beast with 10 horns. You look back at Isaiah, we'll see some more titles for the Antichrist. Now, the Antichrist is the one who's going to try to mimic and be hailed as the Messiah. Jesus said, I came in my Father's name, and you refuse me. Someone will come in his own name, and him you will receive. Isaiah 14, verse 4, looked at some of the ways he's described. Chapter 14, verse 4, it says that you will take a proverb against the king of Babylon and say, how the oppressor has seized the golden city ceased. And of course, he's using Babylon here, the king of Babylon, as a type of the Antichrist. Chapter 14, verse 25. That I will break the Assyrian in my land, and on my mountain tread him underfoot. Then his yoke shall be removed from them, and his burden removed from their shoulders. Now here he's called Assyrian. And something that we should be aware of is that who founded Babylon? Remember? Babylon. Nimrod, who founded Assyria, Nineveh, Nimrod. Nimrod's a type of the Antichrist, the enemy of God. Micah 5:5 also mentions the Syrian coming into the land. He will be destroyed. He's called, chapter 14, verse 12 of Isaiah, how are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How are you cast down or cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations? He's likened to, well, because he's going to be indwelt by Satan. This is a title for Satan. Lucifer means son of the morning, while Jesus is called the bright and morning star. Pretty similar, isn't it? And if you look back again at Daniel, we'll see a few more of his titles. Daniel chapter 9, verse 26, we already saw the little horn. Chapter 9, verse 26. And after 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off. And of course, that was fulfilled, 62 weeks of years. Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. The people of the prince who is to come would be the Roman people, because they were the ones who came and destroyed the city. But the prince who shall come is the Antichrist. And the end of it shall be with a flood, till the end of the war, desolation is determined. He's also called, in chapter 8, verse 23, the king with a fierce countenance. Verse 23 of chapter 8, in the latter times of their kingdom, when the transgressors have reached their fullness, a king shall rise, having fierce features, who understands sinister schemes. His power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. He shall destroy fearfully, shall prosper and thrive, and he shall destroy the mighty and also the holy people. So he comes not in his own power, he comes in the power of Satan. Okay, chapter 11, verse 21. Here he's called a vile person. Verse 21. And in his place shall arise a vile person to whom they will not give the honor of his royalty, but he shall come in peaceably and seize the kingdom by intrigue. So remember, the first rider on the horse in Revelation, he comes with a bow but not with an arrow. So he comes conquering and to conquer, but he doesn't do it with open warfare. He does it by intrigue, as it says here, until he gains power, much like Hitler did, who also is a type of Antichrist, the almost Antichrist, some people call him. Okay, he's also called the willful king, chapter 11, verse 36. The king shall do according to his own will. He shall exalt and magnify himself above every god, shall speak blasphemies against the God of gods, shall prosper till the wrath has been accomplished, for what has been determined shall be done. So we see that he's going to have his heyday for a brief time, those 3.5 years, but his party is all going to come to an end suddenly. Turn over to 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2. And verse 3. We have two titles for him here. 2 Thessalonians 2, 3, it says, "Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition." He's called the man of sin, and he's called the son of perdition. I believe that same title that Judas was given. And he's also called here that wicked or lawless one. Verse 4, he shows himself to be God. And he's lawless. Notice this in verse 8. "And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming." And so when we see the lawlessness in our society today, we know what instigates that and encourages that is the lawless one is Satan himself. So anarchy is not of God. That lawless one. And so that's the scene on earth. But as we go on here in the book of Daniel, and we'll continue next week on this in chapter 7, we see that last verse that Rachel read in verse 9, "I watched till thrones were put in place. The Ancient of Days was garments was white as snow. His hair and his head was like pure wool. His throne was a fiery flame. His wheels a burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from above him. 1,000 thousands ministered to him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated and the books were opened. And I watched then because of the sound of the pompous words which the horn was speaking. I watched till the beast was slain and its body destroyed and given to the burning flame." Isn't that incredible? So all the turmoil we see on earth, all these kingdoms coming and going, but we see who's in charge here. God's in charge. He uses people to accomplish what he wants accomplished, but he ultimately is going to take care of the anarchy, of the pompous words that are being spoken today, that the evil is all around us. That we see that God is still sitting on his throne, and his throne is a throne of judgment. That's what the fiery flame speaks of. And his garment as white as snow speaks of his purity and his holiness. And the court was seated. And later in this chapter, we'll see that the Son of Man appears before him and is given dominion over the kingdoms. And that day is coming. And perhaps it's coming soon. I can only hope. Pray. Okay, we'll take some prayer.